Semaglutide in the brain, visceral fat, and a one-atom superconductor. A new study published in Alzheimer's and Dementia, the Journal of the Alzheimer's Association, found that semaglutide use is associated with a meaningfully lower predicted dementia risk, drawing 439 points and 308 comments. The finding is associational, not causal. People taking semaglutide showed lower predicted dementia risk based on established biomarkers and risk models, but this is not a randomized controlled trial demonstrating prevention. Several plausible mechanisms are under investigation. GLP-1 receptors are expressed in the brain. Metabolic improvements reduce cardiovascular risk factors that contribute to vascular dementia, and direct neuroprotective effects through inflammatory pathways remain a hypothesis. The HN Thread stress test tested the methodology on one central concern: healthy user bias. People who are prescribed and consistently take semaglutide may simply be more engaged with their health broadly, have better healthcare access, and make other lifestyle choices that independently reduce dementia risk. Separating the drug's effect from the effects of being the kind of patient who is prescribed it and adheres to it is genuinely difficult in observational data. Even so, multiple commenters with neuroscience backgrounds called for accelerated randomized controlled trial investment, noting that roughly 55 million people were living with dementia globally as of 2024, with projections reaching 78 million by 2030. Even a partial protective effect from a drug already widely prescribed would represent a substantial public health outcome. The second health story: American College of Cardiology data showing that visceral adiposity outperforms BMI as a cardiovascular risk predictor earned 271 points and 208 comments. The mechanism is worth stating plainly. Visceral fat, which accumulates around the organs in the abdominal cavity, is metabolically active in ways that subcutaneous fat is not. It secretes inflammatory cytokines, contributes to insulin resistance, and drains directly into the portal circulation to the liver. Two people with identical BMIs can carry radically different cardiovascular risk depending on fat distribution, a reality the literature has been documenting for a decade, even as clinical practice changes slowly. Several commenters with clinical backgrounds argued the data should push health systems toward waist-to-height ratio as a standard vital sign alongside, not replacing, BMI. A Nature paper on the first confirmed superconducting monolayer cuprate, a copper oxide superconductor reduced to a single CuO2 plane, literally one atomic layer, received only 19 points on HN, a score that dramatically undersells its scientific significance. The finding isolates the physics of high-temperature superconductivity in a way that bulk materials cannot, addressing one of the field's core open questions. What is the minimum structural unit required for the phenomenon? The comment thread was small but expert, with the consensus that this represents genuine progress on understanding the mechanism rather than an engineering curiosity. Room-temperature superconductors for power transmission, computing, and magnetic levitation remain years or decades away, but understanding why cuprates superconduct is a prerequisite for engineering better ones. Rounding out the health coverage, a Smithsonian piece on at-home tick testing for Lyme disease drew 263 points. The test allows users to check a tick for Borrelia burgdorferi infection before clinical symptoms appear, a meaningful advance given that not all patients develop the characteristic bullseye rash during the standard diagnostic window. A test that can be run on the tick itself before laboratory submission could substantially shift how early treatment is initiated.